Well, today I would like to welcome you to what is our celebration of 30 years as Praise Fellowship Church. And the way that I would like to do that this morning is to start out by giving you some history as to how things came to be as they are now. And so we need to start back a ways with some of this history. First of all, Melanie and I were married. Why don't you just leave those lights down, please, because a lot of it's going to be on the screen here today. So it started out with Melanie and I getting married back in 1979. And yeah, how about that? And but we started out our career, so to speak, in farming. But, you know, as we got married, we had determined to make the Lord the central part of our relationship and the central part of our household and everything that we did. And so we were ripe for spiritual growth. And as we got married, we were invited to be a part of a small group, a couple's Bible study that met weekly. And we were excited to join that because, like I said, we were primed for spiritual growth and development, making the Lord the central part of our lives. And it just so happened that in May of 1980, we had the opportunity to attend some special meetings at the church that we were a part of at that time. And that pastor that taught, we were without a pastor at that time at that church. And so the deacon board was responsible for bringing in guest ministers and filling the pulpit and so forth. And one gentleman in particular who is very special to me is Steve Green's dad, Wallace Green, who was responsible for bringing this gentleman in, who taught on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how to be, or the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and offering up that opportunity for people who had not yet received that experience. Now, I knew that I was saved. I knew that I was born again, but I also knew that this was a dynamic, a part that I had not yet experienced. And one of the things that that's so special about the church that I was raised in is that they taught that God's word is final authority. And if it's based on the word of God, it is truth. And so we saw that experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit as separate from being born again by the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, God's way to enable you to live out your Christian life in the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we yielded to that and experienced, received that experience. And so, wow, did things ever change then? Not only had I gotten married, not only had we gotten filled with the Spirit, but then all of a sudden we open up the Bible and it's like a brand new book to us. And what I believe that experience we were having is that the Spirit of God in His ministry of being teacher, leading and guiding into all truth, we had opened ourselves up to that ministry happening in a huge way. And so we'd open up the Bible and receive understanding, receive revelation, and just love to study. And as a part of that small group, I'm going to make some, you know, pretty hefty leaps here. We've got to cover 30 years in, you know, maybe 40 minutes. And so I'm going to make some jumps here. But eventually, as a result of my just loving to study and sharing what I was studying, the leader of that group, Steve's brother, Phil Green, asked me to do some leading in his absence. And so I started leading some of the small group study times. And it was received, well received, and pretty soon he started asking me to lead it more and more until I was leading it all the time. And we also were experiencing, let me put up a picture of the farm here because that's where we were really tied. We had 15,000 laying hens and we had 28 head of dairy cattle, and so pretty labor intensive. It was fine until we bought the cows. When we got the cows, it got really labor intensive then. But in the midst of this, we were about 4 years into our marriage relationship and 3 years into being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started sensing that the Lord was saying more than just farming for me and that He was calling me to ministry. And, you know, when you're on the farm, you don't just up and go off to Bible school. Like I said, we were tied. And so I started doing schooling by correspondence, and that was the day before internet, being able to study online. It was all by mail. They'd send me the courses. I'd go through the courses. I'd have Melanie type them out because I didn't know how to type then. And she'd type out my essays and send them back in. And then, you know, that's the way I was getting my education for ministry. I didn't yet know what I was called to, just sensing that call to ministry. And at the same time, I was just checking that out. I wasn't just going to go off on my own and go, well, you know what? I think that I think I'm supposed to be a minister, but I don't know what it's supposed to be. But, you know, I started checking with people like, you know, my spiritual leadership and saying, this is what I'm sensing. And does this bear witness with you? Do you see this as well? And they just said, yes, go for it, Roger. And so I started schooling by correspondence. And as I started schooling and studying the various types of ministries of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, as I started studying the ministry of the pastor, this is the way I describe it. God dropped in my heart the desire to do that. Before that, previous to that, I thought, who could stay in the same place and speak to the same people week after week after week? You'd run out of things to say. Well, here I am 30 years later, and you still can't shut me up. So it's like when you've got the Bible, when you've got God's Word, you'll never run out of things to share. Things to say. It is always relevant. And so anyway, like I said, God dropped that desire in my heart to pastor. And it was in 1986 then that we sensed the Lord, we were to go ahead and start the church. Now, there's one person in this picture that you'll recognize because they haven't changed. The other stranger is myself with hair. And a little color in that hair. And but here's something else that I would just like to do at this time. Is I would like to, I'm going to share some moments of gratitude here. And this is the building we started in on Main Street, which is now our youth center. Pardon me, the Garage Church. Yeah, we had several names. We were the Garage Church. We were the Trench Coat Church for a while because we had a number of our youth boys that dressed in black trench coats. Can I get an amen, Chad? And so they were, they'd hang out front, you know, after the service was done, people would drive by and see, you know, four or five guys in black trench coats. And I don't know if they thought we were FBI or what, but they said they called us the Trench Coat Church too. But this is one thing that I'd like to do in expressing gratitude is I would like to have the people that are here today that were a part of our start. Would you please come on up front here? There's a few of you that are here. There was very few of us to start with. And so I would just like to have you go on up on stage so they can see who you all are. But we started with six families. And some of them are still with us, praise the Lord. And I just, first of all, I'd like to express gratitude for people who were willing to trust me. Because I shared my vision to start a church, but at the same time, I shared with them, you know, I'm not expecting, just because we've been Bible studying together, I'm not expecting you to venture out this way with me unless you feel it's the Lord to do that, because, you know, I didn't want to just make an assumption there. And so, but we had six families to start with in this building uptown. And so it was just awesome because we had, let me just put up some pictures there of our start, some other unrecognizable faces that you can maybe make out who they might be, right? But anyway, so, but we had such an awesome core group of people that we were able to start with a worship team. We were able to start with audio. We didn't have visual back then. It was just all audio. Audio team, children's ministry. Steve and Linda were doing children's ministry back then. Loretta was giving leadership to our praise and worship. And Ted, you can see him in the sound booth. He's still there when he's not up front here. He's back in the sound booth. And also, Melanie and I were leading youth, and so we had a real solid core group to start with. Now, you guys can all go back and sit back down, except for a couple of you. Ted, I want you, and Steve and Linda, I want you to stay up there, and Melanie, you stay up there too, because I'm going to go into another area of gratitude that I want to express, and that is for, you know, I'm making a huge leap here right now. But the things that we've had the opportunity to do over the years has been because a huge part because of a tremendous team of ministry that has happened here at Praise Fellowship Church. And I want to give credit or gratitude to our ministry leaders. They've changed, you know, over the years. There's seasons, there's giftings and things that develop and things that change, and we understand that. But I want to share with you those that are serving together with us now as ministry leaders. And so you folks all come up. We've got Carol, of course, she's back with Children's Church right now, so she won't be coming up. But we've also got Ted, who's already up here giving leadership to our sound and audiovisual. Charlie and Susie, please come on up here. They lead our greeters and hospitality ministry, and also you know how involved Charlie is with Sportsman's Outreach. He developed that ministry, is doing tremendous things with that. We also have Steve and Linda who are up here doing the parenting ministry, and Steve and Sue, come on up, Sue, Steve, why don't you guys up here? You knew this was going to happen, so. They give leadership to our youth ministry, and so we're just tremendously blessed by those that are serving in that capacity. Daryl is, I think he's rodeoing today. Is he, Daryl, is he out there? Okay, he's at a relative. So again, we give freedom for people to be gone when they need to be. And also we've utilized Dale and the college and 20-somethings, and that's a fluctuating kind of thing. Many of the college and 20s are now in the marrieds. We've had an influx of marital relationships happening over this past year, and so things change over the course of time. And also Larissa is giving leadership in way many areas. She's gives leadership to our nursery ministry, primarily to our praise and worship ministry. She's also my administrative assistant and treasurer, and so she has a tremendous part in this ministry as well. And I just want to express my appreciation, and I'd appreciate it if you would express your appreciation for these guys too, because so with that, I'll let you guys go ahead and be seated and knock the plants over as you do. But and then as we go from there, I would just like to share my appreciation. And well, here's something else that I would like to talk about with our leaders, that one of the characteristics of our leaders is they are there to serve. They see their significance in serving, not their significance in positions of power or attempting to acquire power or that kind of thing. Never controlling. These folks are just a tremendous blessing. And we talk about the variety of people, the variety of personalities, and we often use this illustration of the different colored hats. We come at things from different perspectives, and we've shared this over the course of time that, you know, there's the white hat that's, you know, very positive, green and yellow are new ideas, bright ideas, red is caution, we got to be careful about what we're doing, black is when there's, you know, just a real kind of, you know, can this really be done realistically? And we always talk about don't be black hat and everything, you know, because so often we are frequent to say, no, that can't work. But those different varieties are the different perspectives that they come together with and are a tremendous asset to Melanie and myself in giving leadership to this congregation. We also talk about lenses of perspective. People see things through various perspectives. And as a result of that, it gives balance to decisions that are made and courses that we take as a church and those kinds of things. And again, in my expression of gratitude, I so appreciate this team that works together with us that makes it a real blessing to be able to serve at this church. I also want to express gratitude for our board, our Praise Fellowship Church board that includes Dan and Linda Gassler. Andy, Lori's not a part of the board, but Lori together with Andy Sperlin, together with Melanie and I, just are a tremendous asset to us as they come from the perspective of full-time ministry pastors who have experienced things that they bring to us, their wisdom and their experience, and really is a tremendous help and a blessing to us in that regard as well. So again, gratitude to them. And then I would like to just express a thanks for you as a congregation. Obviously, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have a church, right? But this passage of Scripture speaks to that, the value of each person in each part. When it says in Ephesians 4:16, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so you folks, what I see on a regular basis, it might be weekly or it might be monthly or it might just be periodically, that you are expressing particular gifts, adding to that part, your part of the body, your functioning as a member of the body, that makes it complete, that causes it to grow, that enables the body to be healthy because of its love for one another that's expressed through service for one another and with one another. And as I see those things and as I see the generosity that you guys experience through not only your serving, but financial generosity, so many times I have gone to you with particular opportunities that present themselves for you to be financially involved, or when you see someone in need, those kinds of things, you don't just overlook it. You get involved that way. And as I've shared so many times, you guys make me proud. When the Gideons come and you bless them with a huge offering, or when someone's going on a short-term missions trip and they need help financially, or when there's a family in need and you guys see that, and sometimes it's done anonymously, we don't even announce it, you just do it. And there's so many times that you guys have just expressed the grace of God, where the Scripture says all grace abounds to us, so that not only having sufficiency in all things, we will have an abundance for every good work. God supplies that grace to us. And as we walk in that grace more and more, we see that, the fruitfulness of that. And I just, again, thank you for that. And you folks make me so proud. Thank you for doing that. When we talk about progress, obviously as a church, you know, we hope that we have made progress over 30 years of ministry, the opportunity to do different things on behalf of the Lord. One of the questions that comes to me is, how do you measure success? And really, that was a question I put before the Lord before I even started pastoring. I remember the day that I felt the Lord calling me into a time of fellowship with him, and I took a walk in the woods. And as I was walking in the woods, I just asked him this question: how am I going to know that I'm successful as a pastor? Again, this was before I had even started pastoring, but how do you define that? I was conversing with the Lord, and I said, I know that it's not in numbers of people. I know better than that. I mean, oftentimes we do measure success by numbers. How big is the congregation, or how much, you know, financial budget is there as a congregation? And we look at those things and say, yeah, they're doing great. They're really, being successful. But I knew better than that. So I said, Lord, how is it that I will know that I'm successful as a pastor? And as I was walking through the woods, I saw this. It was in the fall, so almost all the leaves had fallen. And I could see up in the trees, and there was this huge bird's nest up in the tree, just hanging up there. And I sensed the Lord say this to me: how is a bird successful? And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, they don't really produce much. They don't, you know what? A bird. And then it came to me: in reproduction. A bird reproduces. It bears eggs that hatch baby birds, and those birds grow up and hatch baby birds, and it continually reproduces. That's how a bird is successful. And the Lord said to me at that point, that's how you will be successful, is reproducing yourself in others. And he made it plain, not the quirks and all those kinds of things, but reproducing the Christ-likeness in you, in others. And so I have seen that as really my goal, and not letting, you know, numbers, which, you know, that can either encourage or discourage the way you look at it, but those kinds of things, the Lord really helped that to be established in me as to how I would know that I'm successful. And again, it's not always what you see. I love this illustration. I use this several times. But, you know, sometimes we look at the surface and we go, oh, yeah, they're doing really great, or, wow, they're not doing so good. But there's so many things under the surface that really determine whether something is doing well or not doing well, something is successful or not successful. And sometimes we just have the wrong, you know, we're using the wrong thing to measure by as to whether we think we are being successful or not being successful. And so I want to talk a little bit about reproducing and reproducing the kingdom of God by sowing seed. And one of the experiences that we have as a small church and a small rural community is that many of our young people, they would grow up, they graduate, they go off to college, they get their careers, they find the significant other in their life and develop a relationship and become married and usually become a part of the church that they're in, the area that they are in, and minister in that church and in various areas. And it doesn't come back here as a part of what we're doing, but we have sown that seed into others. Now, the reality of young people growing up and moving away, that's just, that happens. And as you can see, our young people do grow up and they do move away. Sometimes they come back to visit. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking, wouldn't it be awesome to have a Warriors of the Rock reunion at Praise Fellowship Church for our 30th anniversary? We've got one here this morning, so Chad, why don't you come on up, and we'll just start with you, okay? And Chad played keyboard, so, you know, the keyboard's right there. And anyway, so, but those are awesome days and fun days, and these were a group of young people. They were a part of our youth then. You can see Casey Prestigard, is Alan and Bonnie's son, and two near boys, Matthew and Jared, and then Chris Fixon is way on the back on the left-hand side, okay, I get backwards here, and then Ben Burdick is down in the middle there as well. And but young boys and youth group, and they wanted a rock and roll, Christian rock and roll band. And so they were Warriors of the Rock, and that was fun. But also some others that have grown up, and many of them moved away. Here we see what was called the Fellowship of the Unashamed. There is different names of the different groups as they cycled through youth ministry. And I have to give so much credit to Steve and Sue. If there's one area of ministry that cycles, you know, it's youth ministry, because they do. They grow up and they graduate out of youth ministry and they start all over again. But there was Super Gang was, I think, the first really group that was, before this one. And then this was the Fellowship of the Unashamed. And then the next group was the Crew. And I don't know where we're at now, but these young people, they group up together and they became very, I believe, a very positive peer group among each other, and we're just a real, you know, blessing to see that dynamic happening. But again, we sow them as seed, and frequently they don't stay or they don't come back. We've been experiencing that a little bit more as of recent, which is tremendous. But at the same time, we just realize that these young ones, they do eventually grow up, and they become adults. And what a transformation that can happen over the years. And but again, when they are not here with us, when they don't stay, when we release them, we still see ourselves as making progress. We might stay kind of a similar size, but we still see ourselves making progress in that we are advancing the kingdom of God in other places as a result of seed that we have sown. Now, you know, I probably want to take more credit than I should, you know, that it's the church that's making this huge difference, but we have to give credit back to the families and the parents, and they probably had a little something to do with how their kids, you know, went off to serve the Lord as well. Just joking there a little bit. But here's a tremendous example of sowing seed and this, you know, going out into other areas and serving the Lord in different capacities. And that is, again, Chad just this week was honored, I believe, not only he, but the whole movie. So, and he happens to be with us here today, so come on up here, Chad, again, one more time. But I think we got to have you share something about this, don't we?
You're supposed to give me a warning.
A warning? Oh, I'm sorry. So this is going to be fresh. But As you know, if any of you are Facebook friends with me, I'd put this out this week about how, and we'd put out through email as well, an opportunity to have an impact here with how this was selected. But Christian Movie Madness, what's that all about?
Last year, I think, was the first time it has ever been done. And the group that started this, I think they're a store, and they thought it'd be cool to get some traffic in on their store. But it was really to bring awareness to all these other Christian movies that have been produced.
Okay, awesome. And, you know, it goes like in sports. What do? They have brackets and playoffs and that kind of thing and different areas. And this movie, Patterns of Evidence, was up against The War Room. How many of you saw The War Room? It's a tremendous movie. And this is the one, Patterns of Evidence is the one that won out. And and Chad was editor in that movie. So congratulations to you, sir. And again, I'll let you off the hook here. Unless there's something else you'd like to share about that. Nope. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. But what we see here is that, you know, the ministry that happens that, you know, again, I'm going to take a little bit of credit for an atmosphere where this young man was able to grow up and be challenged by youth ministry and challenged by, just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the drama ministry that Bonnie was leading back then and how it was not the fear of God, it was the fear of Bonnie that really motivated these young people in drama ministry, but, you know, gave them courage to step out and do different things. And again, here's just an example of, again, sowing seed into other areas. All right, so on from there, some other things that I would like to share with you. Ministry opportunities that you as a congregation have been involved in and expanding the boundaries through different things that you do. First of all, in your personal lives. I realize that all the ministry that happens is certainly not within the church body or within these four walls, certainly. You as an individual have been called by God to go out into the world, into your sphere of influence, and have an impact there. And we trust that you are doing that and that you're utilizing the gifts that God has given you to do that. Sometimes there have been some things like, you know, short-term things, short-term missions or a ministry of a particular area for a season, those kinds of things. Those happen. And then there are some local outreach kinds of things that have been initiated by you and have been administrated by you and are served by you as a congregation. Not something particular that we as a church started or are doing, but we as a church get to be involved in the things that you are doing. And there have been a variety of those over the years, but some that are happening right now that I can use as examples would be like Bonnie with the therapy horses, as she has shared her miniatures, and Charlie with the sportsman's outreach, and those kinds of things where we have the opportunity to connect with what's happening in a variety of ways. This last October, the Kingdom Fest that you guys all rallied to be a part of and to help serve, and different ways that we have of reaching out. And then here's just another one that I want to share as an example. Different opportunities that we have had to serve the community through funerals. And some of them huge funerals that there's just, you know, standing room only and spreading out into the entryway. And then not only that, but, you know, the service, the funeral service, but then providing a lunch after or something like that, where you guys just step up time and time again, and just again make me proud by the way that you guys are willing to serve. And I just want to share again gratitude with that. But just a few slides of things that have happened over the years and things that you have been a part of. I'm going to just kind of go through these briefly, but here's years ago. And if you know, make note of again how much these young people have grown up, and it's fun to see. We did a kids fest on one Centerfest weekend, utilizing the tent that the city had put up, and then there's Tammy and Audrey doing a skit for that, and there's Joelle face painting, Guess who that guy is? Incognito. That's Charlie. That's Charlie there, yeah. And behind him is the puppet bus that we ran through the parade, you know, blasting Christian music on the loudspeakers, and all the puppets, their heads out the window, singing to the music, and it's just great fun. There's Sue at Club IOU, serving in that place for young people. Again, another shot of Club IOU. And here's, I don't know if you guys remember this, the Fellowship of the Unashamed and the music fest that they did out in someone's field, I think. And yeah, look how young Joshua looks there. And there's the group there. It's just fun to see. Here's a back-to-school bash that was done in the city parking lot. There's Helen serving in nursery ministry. What a tremendous blessing. Is that Zachy? Caleb? That's Zach. All right. Here's a youth Mexico missions outreach. We went on several of those with YWAM, and that was a tremendous experience. There's an outreach outdoor event that we're doing with youth missions. Remember this? Liquid Rhythm. We went through the Centerfest parade with a drum corps, and I got compliments from the people of the community saying that was the best parade unit that went through. We had so much fun with that. That was great. We did a first responders appreciation banquet, you know, around 9/11 when that happened. You know, we just took time to give special thanks to those that serve in those capacities, that go to the emergencies, that, you know, put their lives on the line. And again, you guys, you folks, stepped up for that event, and what a tremendous opportunity, a tremendous blessing. We've done Blessing of the Bikes over the years. Here's when we started to build on this addition. Someone got the skidster loader stuck, and Daryl had to pull it out. So you can see him working at that. But again, this was a huge project that we did, putting this addition onto the building, and you can see some of the steps of it being put together. We did so much of the interior work there, hanging the drywall. There's Steve saying, what are you taking this picture for? There's Dad putting on a new thermostat for the furnace. And there's Paul working on the wall, painting. Myself and Melanie. There's Rodney, borrowed the McNeilus steel forklift, yeah, to unload the tile. We had huge pallets of tile to do the entryway. And so he unloaded that for us. And then we paved Paradise and put in a parking lot. paved our parking lot. So again, just some of the fun things that we started over the years. Then came the game feed and the sportsman's big adventure, the outreach there, and how you folks got so involved with that. Just what a blessing to be able to do that and to get together as a body and work together. And there's some girls, young ladies that are serving, and Helen is working at the, doing dishes, helping such servants. You guys are, what a blessing. There's Kingdom Fest, and Carol did just an awesome job, and she had a team of people that worked together with her. Probably, how many hours would you guys say you put in making this a kingdom? And that was just awesome. It was a tremendous experience, a tremendous event. There's Ted as a knight in shining armor with his lady in waiting, or lady, I don't know, I better, that's my sister Loretta, and I'm not going to say anything more before I get in. be careful. And some of the events that took place that were inside this whole building got transformed into a kingdom. And there's Friar Tosh. He wanted to be called Fire Truck, I think, instead of Friar Tuck. But anyway, so there's Bonnie and Alan with their, which one is that?
Billy.
With Billy. And so, again, what a neat thing there. All right. So we've had opportunity as a congregation to just do some really awesome things over the years, and that was just a drop in the bucket from pictures that I already had. I mean, there's so much more that has happened, and it'd be fun to just be able to see all of it, but I just wanted to make reference to a few things. But then I also wanted to make reference to some of the ministry opportunities as we've been talking about progress, as we've been talking about attempting to do what we were gifted to do, to be able to advance the kingdom of God in a variety of ways, be it through sowing seed or be it through us becoming involved personally. Or here's one way that I have had opportunity as a pastor and with the gifting that God has given me to teach and to expand the boundaries that way over the years, and you as a congregation in sowing me, in essence, to do that. I've had the opportunity to experience things really kind of all over the world. And this young boy who was raised on a farm and hardly traveled anywhere, the only vacation that I think we went on, I was too young to remember. We went to South Dakota when I was 2 years old, and so I don't remember that one at all. But otherwise, the only travel we did was to a kind of a sister church in New Auburn, Wisconsin, where my older sister met her husband. We just didn't travel much. And so I was in my 20s before I ever, got on an airplane. Well, I have to backtrack that. I was on a little plane that landed out in our pasture. Denny Lippincott, for those of you who know Denny, landed out in our pasture and took me up in his plane when I was a teenager. And I went home with an upset tummy. But anyway, so I was in my 20s before I really, had the opportunity to travel or fly anywhere. But having the experience to become involved in other ministries, Honduras has been one that I've been to several times, and there's a connection there, a divine connection, through Gary Walters, who is the son of Helen Walters, brother of Daryl Walters. He's been here a number of times, he and his family, he and his wife Katrina. And they've invited me several times to Honduras to be involved in their Bible school, their Bible training center, as well as different occasions with their church and so forth. And as in addition to that, I've had the opportunity, and Melanie and I together in Honduras, and also us together in Jamaica. I've been in Mexico multiple times with outreaches with our youth. I've been to India with crusades and a pastor's conference, to Bolivia. I traveled on the road of death road, to get to a missionaries retreat and share there with the Michelsons in Radio Caranavi in Bolivia. And also I've been to Thailand. Carrie and I went to Thailand a year ago to minister together at the orphanage and at a boys, what was that, a rehab center that we ministered at as well with David and Paula Mahawan, who are part of AFCM. We had the opportunity to reach out and start a church in Park Rapids, Minnesota, when some of our congregation moved that direction and started business up there, and were attempting to find a church that was similar to what they experienced here and had difficulty finding it. And in the midst of that, finding other people who were expressing the same thing. And we went up there and just started working together with a small group, as a small group for a season, and then just really sensed the Lord encouraging us to establish a church there. So we became involved with that. And as you know, Pastor Andy and Lori Sperlin became a vital part of that start and then pastoring, and he has in fact transferred that to his daughter and son-in-law that are pastoring that church in Park Rapids now. So again, opportunity to, excuse me, to reach out in a number of different ways, in a number of different areas, to be involved in spreading and advancing the kingdom of God. And there's another upcoming opportunity that I'm going to share with you here in just a little bit. But I'd like to start with this, giving some background as to where things have come from here. It was back in 2013 that we attended a global leadership summit with Bill Hybels and Willow Creek Church. And One of the things that he talked about was the experience that you'll have as a church, the dynamics of church life, that you will have upswings, you will have times where it's just kind of maintaining, and you will have downswings. And let me share with you that we have experienced all of these. Guess which one is the most challenging and difficult one? Obviously, the downswings. And that's when, you know, one particular experience that I remember was that in an 18-year-and-a-half period, 18-month period, 16 families made a change away from this church. Some of them were because they, you know, I had not measured up to their expectations as a pastor or whatever, you know, dynamics in the church, they were disgruntled. But others because of change in career or move or, you know, different things, different reasons why. But when 40% of the budget goes with that, then it's like, okay, what things have we been doing that we felt are vital to do and can't anymore? You just, again, that's between, I've shared this with you several times, the whole concept of here's the ideal, here's the real, in between you get the deal. And so that's what he was expressing as well at this conference. When there is the downswings, you know, that's part of the dynamics of church life. You do deal with it. You have to learn to deal with it. But when you're experiencing the upswings, go with it. Go with it. And like I said, we've experienced all of these, and I remember one particular upswing that we experienced where there was more growth, there was increase, you know, and financial increase, and it gave us the opportunity to do some things. One of those things was to increase missions support for different missionaries that we had supported in the past and maybe weren't for a season, or adding two, you know, missionaries that we were supporting. And so that was one of the tremendous experiences of that upswing and going with it, is to increase some missions support. Another thing was to give a small increase to those who are a part of our church that are serving, that receive stipends. And I always call them stipends, because if you called it a salary or a wage, we'd probably be taken to court, because it wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be minimum wage or whatever. It's like they serve, you know, and I've shared this with you before. Some people have to be paid to be good. Others are good for nothing. And we have so many people that are good for nothing. And so many people that we just give a small stipend to as a way of expressing how much we appreciate and don't want to take you for granted for all the hours that you serve here and that kind of thing. But, you know, years and years and years of just the same thing. No one has ever complained or anything, but the opportunity to go with it when there is the upswing and just add to the little bit that they were getting, it was just a tremendous blessing to be able to do that as well. So that was one of those things of that upswing experience. But another one that we had the opportunity to was to add to our technological equipment and our internet presence. That was something that had been in my heart for a long time. As we used to take everything with a video camera in the back running on a cheap iPod that, excuse me, not iPod, a cheap tripod. Thank you. Terminology, you know, it's like, anyway. So it's, you know, we never had anything of quality. And when it wasn't because of the people that were running it or anything like that. It's just the equipment that we had to work with. And I always said this, I would never put what we were doing on the internet because I'd be so absolutely embarrassed. It was good to have record of it, and people love to watch the videotape, VHS, not DVD, the videotape of what we were doing, you know, when they needed to see something that was special or whatever. So it was good that we taped it, but it just wasn't quality. But we had the opportunity to purchase the cameras and the computer that could record digitally and be able to afford the opportunity to get an app for our church, as well as having a website presence and editing videos, messages, or other experiences that we've had the opportunity to do and put them online. It's made a difference. And it was a tremendous blessing and opportunity to do that. Here's one example that I'll share of what a difference it made. And that was, many of you remember Molly and how she shared with us one particular Sunday the accident that she had had. and how the Lord brought her through that and recovery and all of that, Molly Reese. And they were having a benefit. A friend of hers was having a benefit for her. And so we had had Molly share here, and then I made a video of that and posted it, put it on Facebook so that her mom, Diane Reese, who's a member here, as well as Molly, and they could put it on their Facebook and post it and see Molly sharing her experience and how the Lord brought her through that. And we just, you know, had a special time there. That video went viral. Not viral, you know, when you think of YouTube kind of viral, but viral for Praise Fellowship Church. I mean, she had like 250 views on that video. And as the time came close for her benefit, I had all the email addresses of our classmates. Diane and I are classmates. And I had all the email addresses of our classmates because we had done a 35-year reunion just a couple of years before that. And so I spread out that and I said, here's a link. You can watch this. And then at the benefit, we had classmates that were coming up and just saying a couple of things. One gentleman in particular said, you know, I really appreciate what you guys do. He said, I could never do that. And then another classmate who lives up in the city saying, you know, Roger, if I was closer, I'd come to your church. He said, I see what you're doing. That's awesome. You know, and it's like things like that where, you know, we had the technology, we had the equipment to be able to present something that was of a reasonable enough quality to be able to, you know, put out something that was worth watching. And to spread the word, to spread the experience, in this case, Molly's experience. But also there's been other things. Remember when I shared this video with you of Heather Dornadin was her maiden name, Heather Kampf. I shared the video with you of her doing this race and the third lap around, actually it was only three laps, so it was at the end of the second lap, she fell, face planted, and got up and won that race. And it was interesting because we were at AFCM Family Reunion this last year, and they showed that same video. And I said, you know what? The girl in that video who did that, we've had her in our church. She has a tremendous Christian testimony. And by the way, here's a link that you can watch that. And so, again, what a tremendous opportunity just to be able to spread the word and, you know, give availability to things that have happened. So it's not just what's happening here. We can spread it, and it can go quite a ways. Well, then here's another experience that I'm getting to a particular point here, but it's going through a number of different experiences. Years ago, Melanie and Sue started with AFCM ITC, International Training Center, at Scott Peterson's church in Owatonna. And then Melanie connected with her, and they went through that together and graduated from that. And Melanie said, we've got to start an ITC here at Praise Fellowship Church. And so we did the necessary work to get that going. It's Video Bible School. And as a result of that, then we've had that course going here. We've had Jim Caseman come and share a few years ago. He was just honoring those who had received diplomas or certificates because of the work that they had done in ITC. And then from there, we were asked to, well, I need to share this too. Melanie received her ordination through AFCM as a part of our experience and a part of what she was becoming a part of this congregation and giving leadership to that ITC, as well as she has worked together with me over the many years in the ministry that we have done here. And so I just wanted to honor her today with that experience of receiving ordination through AFCM. And then we started having, as a result of people seeing from AFCM, seeing videos that we had done here at the church, they knew we had the technology to be able to do some video recording. And they had a tremendous need for recording ITC courses. And so last summer, Dana Nile, who's pictured here, who is the director of missions for our association, AFCM, Dana Nile came and did a course that we recorded for the ITC school that goes spreads out through the whole world. And this is something that, if you remember me sharing with you, people, we not only have the opportunity to have this going here, but now the use of our facilities is going to go worldwide as a result of it being spread through ITC and us doing this recording. And so I was really excited again about that, how God had given us that upswing and that opportunity to purchase some equipment, and that equipment being used in a tremendous way to advance his kingdom, not just in our local area, but advance his kingdom around the world. And so they started recording. Dana Nile recorded his introduction to missions. And then we had Joyce Erickson here, who recorded the Spirit-led prayer course. And then it wasn't very long after that, and we received an email saying, we need a course taught on the local church. Would you and Melanie be willing to tag team that course? And so, wow, were we ever honored and humbled by that request for us to do that. And so last December, Melanie and I taught that six-hour course that was recorded here and is now going to be distributed through the AFCM ITC school. So all those students that are all over the world are going to be also viewing this course as well. Well, then I need to share something with you that has come over the course of time. And this is something that kind of was initiated by Dana Nile, as he, and I'll share this with you, what he has expressed through his newsletter. He said, over the last 6 months or so, we've been talking about a plan to help non-English speaking people gain access to the AFCM Video Bible School. The first level of this school has been successfully translated and overdubbed into Spanish and Mandarin Chinese, but attempts with other languages have not gone well. This is mostly due to the tremendous time, labor, and money required to produce a finished product. The Lord spoke to our hearts about a process that would be far less time, labor, and financially intensive. The idea is to bring instructors from the USA and Canada into a nation, have them teach their class live in front of a student body with skilled interpreters while video recording with state-of-the-art equipment. While on our last trip to Asia, we were quietly doing some spiritual recon and asking the Lord to direct us to the right nation to begin this project. The nation has been revealed, and with great excitement, we are preparing to make the following announcement. Thailand will be the first of many nations to host a live AFCM ITC Bible School. We will work with the Mahawan family, longtime AFCM missionaries to both the Thai and the Shan people, and we will help facilitate the live teaching and recording the school in both the Thai and the Shan languages. At this point, our estimated start date for this project is early to mid-February 2017. There are many logistical and scheduling details to iron out while planning and implementing this project, and so please focus prayer toward prayer support on this. Thank you. And then here was another thing that he sent. He said, we are excited about another trip to Vietnam during the first 2 weeks of June. Our Vietnamese contact has invited me to speak at his Bible school's first graduation ceremony and teach for a week at the beginning of the new class. The pastor only knows one speed and one direction, fast and forward. He is determined to do his part in training and equipping pastors and church leaders to handle the growing harvest coming in from all across Vietnam. He is not only enlarging his Bible school in the Ho Chi Minh City, but has plans for schools in two more cities. And then not long after that, his newsletter, Melanie and I received this email. Hello, Pastors Roger and Melanie. How would you like to teach your AFCM ITC course on the local church in Vietnam? Our contact there, AFCM member, pastor, I don't think I should share his name. I know Dana talks about it being underground church there, so I'm not going to broadcast that. But his name, he asked me to teach this in his Bible school, but I thought it would be so much better if you were to teach it. So here's the deal. He wants me to come speak at his school's graduation on June 4th and then teach in his new school Monday through Friday, June 6th through 10th. He would like 2 to 3 courses taught during that week, one of them being yours. Class starts like at 8 in the morning and runs for at least 6 hours per day. It would be great if both of you could come, but if that's too big a stretch, maybe Roger could come and teach both parts. And so... And then he said, I would like you to come to teach the class in Thailand as well, sometime between February and June of 2017. And so here we go. But just after having put that before the Lord, you know, I had to measure my level of excitement, you know, about, you know, receiving this invitation. Certainly, world travel is not that exciting. I mean, you know, ask Carrie, you know, being in a plane for 15 hours, you know, this little aluminum tube is not all that glorious. But when you have the opportunity to serve the Lord in that capacity and expand the boundaries of ministry in that way, I got excited about that. And so I just put it before the Lord, you know, what is your will, Lord? It's a long ways to travel and expensive to do, but what is your will in that? And I just sensed the response I got was the Psalm 37:4, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I sensed him saying, the desire you have in my heart has been given to you by me. And so so with that, I've made plans to go June 3rd through June 11th. And I'm going to go myself this time. And when it comes to Thailand, I'm working on Melanie to go with me, and that will be next year. But again, just to share some of those things. So here's, you know, just actually Vietnam and Thailand are very close if you're not a real geography person. You can see that over in Asia. And so we, Carrie and I, again, went to Thailand. It's a little farther north than what you see on the map here with Faith Village and with the Mahawans. But we will be going to Ho Chi Minh City. I will be going to Ho Chi Minh City coming up here in June, then to work together with Dana, our Director of Missions for AFCM. And so, you know, what a tremendous opportunity. And I'm just really excited about being able to serve in that capacity. Some other things that I would like to share as we're concluding here today, and that is for our future progress. We've been talking about some of the history and then some of the progress, some of the things that have been happening, but what about the future? And a couple of verses that I want to share that are just really close to each other in the scriptures, Proverbs 16:3 and then Proverbs 16:9. It says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. And then it says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. And that's my desire. You know, we do make plans. We desire those plans to succeed. But at the same time, we yield those plans up to the Lord to determine what is definitely from him and what it is that he has in mind for us to do. We've shared some things with you as of recent about our culture of transfer, desiring to develop that culture here in this church where we are free to and experiencing the transfer of ministry from one generation to the next, training these young people that have either come back or have stayed and are seeing themselves planted here in this church, a vital part of the future of this church. And so interning with them, working together with them to see them not only just taking places that are already here, but adding to what it is that we're already doing. And anticipation of some more creative ways of outreach. And you know, I just have to give tremendous credit to Melanie, who does a lot of visioning and vision casting and visiting with me, and then things bearing witness from what the Lord has shared with me before, and what a tremendous, you know, opportunity that we have with this coming generation to creatively transfer that baton, hand off that baton, as we have talked about. But here's some other things that I want to, you know, for us to just be prepared for. You know, the scripture speaks of everything around us being shaken. And we're coming into the world, the culture, the dynamics of our day, our global community, where that really is happening. And we as a people need to be ready to stand on that which cannot be shaken. And that is the kingdom of God, and that is the truth of God's word, no matter what. And we see this. I'll share this passage with you from Hebrews 12, 26 through 28, that says, "When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe." And so I just sense that, you know, this phrase came to my mind. It's time to get out of dress uniform and into fatigues. It's time for us not to just, consider all the, things that look really good, but it's time to get down in the trenches where things don't always look so good. And it's messy, it's difficult, it's challenging, it's warfare, it's battle. But we need to be ready for that, for the future that is there ahead of us. And so I just want to challenge you with that, to be a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and out of the dress uniforms and into our fatigues. And there's one other thing that I would like to do in closing here today, and that is to invite Melanie to come on up here with me, because I know that her preference is to be in the background. There's times where I just kind of nudge her forward and say, we need what you got, babe. You need to share this message. And she's got a message stirring in her heart that I think we can all already call it by name, and that is qualified. And from her experience in her past, where so many things told her and so many people in her life told her, you're not qualified, you won't be able to, that kind of thing, and how she has come through so much. And the place that she stands in my life, first of all, has made such a tremendous impact on me, and that makes such a tremendous impact on you as a congregation. That there's one of the things, as you know, my son-in-law said, what things do I need to remember as I'm preparing for ministry? And one of the things that I said is, recognize the importance of your spouse. And we've always enjoyed working together. And the season of life where she was more focused on the children than ministry in the church, it was understandable. That was her season. But as they've all grown up and become a part of, you know, their own families and so forth, she has been able to connect together with me in ministry. And I tell you what, I am loving it. And she is such a tremendous, vital part that if she leaves, I'm going with her. And just saying. Because I can't do it without you, babe. I love you. I don't know. I don't want you to sit down. I'll let you. Okay. So, but anyway, with that, and with all my on and on and on about all the special things and all the special people that you are in my life, I just want to say thank you for an awesome 30 years. There's one thing that I'm going to make a request for, and this will be at, you know, I love technology things, and I know you can present a powerful message, and I think at our 50-year anniversary, I'm going to hire Chad. Of course, he'll be good for nothing by then, because he and Jared, Ted and Loretta's son, who does also similar kind of videography, kinds of editing, that kind of thing. I'm going to put the two of them together. By then, they'll be independently wealthy, and we won't have to pay them. Now they have to earn money, so I couldn't ask that time of them. But by then, I'm going to have them put together our 50th anniversary. We'll do some special, and by then, it won't be video. It'll be all hologram kind of stuff up here. Reenactments. They will show, you know, ministry back in the 80s, and anyway. We'll do something really big then. But we have much more to look forward to, and I'm glad for how God has called you to be a part of what's happening here, and what a tremendous blessing you are. And with that, I'm going to pray and say thank you to you and thank you to the Lord. So let's pray.